time for the North Shore Sports Desk on MSO News Sports. We bring you the latest in high school sports news from all across the North Shore. The Sports Desk is produced by Kelly Media and brought to you by Moynihan Lumber, the K-Band Savings Bank, Cranny Self Storage in Danvers, the Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. And Sun and Air, the North Shore's premier golf practice facility. And now your host, Dom Nicastro.
North Shore Sports Desk, Dom Nicastro here. How's it going? We are in mid-May. Closing in on the end of the regular season. That's right, only like a couple of weeks left, really. One, maybe in a half weeks. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of schedules that have like, you know, three games left, four games left. So before you know it, we'll be in the tournament and late May, and then just closing in on state championship weekend, you know, for all these sports. So excited about that. And I'm excited about the show. We're a weekly show, by the way, msonewsports.com, here every Thursday morning. We're out the door on MSO News Sports. This show's great. I mean, we got Ashley Waters, Boston University softball coach from Amesbury, and they are going to the NCAAs. First game Friday against Oregon, and they also are in the same bracket as three-time defending champs Oklahoma. Unbelievable. By the way, Ashley's team beat Oklahoma in 2018, yeah, 6 years ago, but they did it, so it's possible. They won't be playing Oklahoma the first round. We're not sure when they're playing them, but it's like a weekend tournament. Only one will survive and move on. So they got Oregon first, then Cleveland State, number 240 ranked team, is taking on Oklahoma in the nightcap on Friday. Then number two, and then number 34, BU is playing number 31, Oregon. Comes from a great conference over there out west. So Ashley tells us all about that after the break. Then we got our Cape and Savings Bank Student Athlete of the Week, and Coach Cap, Joe Capernegro, finishing things off. Swampscott baseball coach, they're streaking, doing well. And we talk about good old Frank DeFelice, field named after the great Swampscott coach in town. So we'll talk about Frank DeFelice's legacy. Part of that legacy is beating me three times in 1995. Yes, I talk to my therapist about it all the time. So before we get into that, though, we have a super moment.
Great shot, kid. That was one in a million.
Time for the super sub. Super performance of the week.
That's right. The super sub shop. Super performance of the week. We are going to the softball diamond. Beverly High School. Freshman pair. Lydia Medema. No hitter against Marblehead in a 4-0 win. And her freshman classmate, Sophia Balducci, 2-run homer in that game. How about the Frosh stepping it up? What a game. What an absolute game from both of those two girls, those young ladies. Great job beating Marblehead in the shutout. No hitter and a 2-run homer from the freshman. The future looks bright. We won't be seeing them, I don't think, at Super Sub because we're only going to see the captains. But Super Sub Shop Performance of the Week is those two ladies. And we will be seeing next month the captains of the spring sports team. So Super Sub, you know those guys, right? Great food, fast service since 1970. Give them a call, 978-927-4788 for takeout. Best cheesesteaks on the North Shore. Give Paul Guanciota a call. Maybe he can set you up with some catering. If you got a party coming up and you don't want to do the cooking, Super Sub will take care of it for you. They have like cheesesteak platters, you know, fresh fruit, salads, good stuff like chicken, broccoli, and ziti kind of thing. So call Paul for the latest. Don't quote me on it. Call him for the latest offerings in that catering business. There are 324 Cabot Street, by the way. Okay, wasting no more time, we're going to get to our Amesbury native legend, Ashley Waters. She's going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame alongside Coach Chris Perry soon. But before that, hey, her mind is on the Boston University softball team's appearance. They've won 52 games already, trying to make it 53 on Friday against Oregon in the NCAAs. We'll talk to Ashley after the break.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage.
If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self-Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self-Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self-Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self-Storage today at 978-777-9193.
All the appetizers to get your taste buds going, like sliders, quesadillas, wraps and burgers, specialties like tropical grilled salmon, fajitas, turkey tips, steaks, ribs, pasta, seafood, kids' meals. And did we mention 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games? There's going out and then there's Sylvan Street Grill, the best place to go on the North Shore in Peabody and Salisbury.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
North Shore Sports Desk, Dominic Castro. We're here with our latest guest, and this is going to be a favorite of mine this spring. I can't believe we grabbed her in the middle of this incredibly busy week for her, but it's Amesbury's own Ashley Waters, coach of NCAA tournament bound Boston University softball. What's going on, coach?
It is a pleasure to be here. Busy time of year, but the best time of year.
Yeah. Crazy. Another trip to the, how many trips now to the NCAAs for you
as a coach? This is our sixth one.
Oh, unbelievable. So six titles, the Patriot League, right? What I noticed first, coach, I mean, we'll get into the NCAA tournament because that's top of mind, but what I noticed about your 9-year career at BU is, you know, you turn things around. The team had some losing records there before you came in. And what I loved seeing was pretty much every regular season crown that you won in the Patriot League was followed by a Patriot League tournament crown. I think there was only one year that didn't happen. It was 2022, right?
You are right, unfortunately.
I'm picking out the negative. Let's start negative. But that's cool, right? That shows that your teams have followed through and come through in the clutch in the tournament.
Yeah, I think it's you know, really difficult to win as often as we do. And I think it's really tough when you do win that regular season. I feel like everything's kind of in chapters, right? Like chapter one is that preseason, you know, how do you compete? How do you do well? Once you get back, obviously, to the Northeast, it becomes your conference play. And it's, you know, you need to be ready to go and playing really great softball to obviously make it to the tournament. So the top four teams make it to the tournament. So for us, we have very simple goals every year, and it's to make it to the, you know, obviously to do well in conference, you know, try to win it so we can host. So the team that wins the regular season actually hosts the tournament. So we feel as though we play the best on our field. You know, if you look at our home record, it's pretty remarkable. So we try to have that tournament in Boston every year.
You didn't lose this year at home, did you?
We didn't. We did tie because of darkness, yeah. Actually. But we didn't lose.
Darkness? BU doesn't have any lights there for you guys?
Oh, no. I was trying to call the apartment buildings around, tell these guys to turn on their windows, get home from work.
Hey, people on Starro, flash your lights a little brighter. You know,
we're trying to finish. Do us a favor. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Well, like, sorry, undefeated at home. And Lehigh made you earn it in that final game, right, of the tournament?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, Lehigh's had, I mean, they've been in the conference, my God, since the beginning of its creation. So, you know, we came in and Lehigh was kind of that top dog. And we've had some epic battles, obviously, over the years. And, you know, I think when you look at it, it's like a 1-2 punch every single year. So I think we're continuously making each other better. But, you know, Lehigh is a good program. They have a good team. And I think everything was a one-run game, a two-run game. And we had played them, my God, the last series before the tournament. And then, of course, we got them in the championship game.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was thrilling. I mean, heart attack kind of game, right? It just seemed like that. And you guys came up big. And was it the first extra inning? Is that?
Yeah. So in the eighth inning, we had a one out double from Brooke Depiess, our second baseman. She got second base. Next step back, ground ball to the right side, moved her over. Next pitch, ground ball, second base. And the kid just got short hopped. And that was our run. We scored on kind of a miscue, but you know, it's, the one thing I can say about our program is we have incredible pitching, and I think they keep us in it long enough that we can usually chip away and find a run.
Yeah. Now, did your starter went 7 out of 8, right? And you had a, do you have a closer come in, or was it like
she did? Yeah. So no, yeah, she did. She I think she got 1 out in the 7th. So there was a leadoff single, and then they bunted her, or they tried to bunt her over, and she actually ended up striking the kid out. And then I just thought it was a better switch to go with Casey Ricard from Littleton, Massachusetts. So I put Casey in there, and she ended up striking out the next 4.
Well, that's a good coaching move. I mean,
yeah, you know, sometimes you make the right decision.
Other times, like, oh, I screwed that one up.
Correct. Yes.
That's coaching for you. But those two pitchers, is that like a rotation kind of thing, or is there a starter closer?
Yeah, no, I think they're both starters. I have to be honest. I have 3 pitchers on our staff, 3 incredibly talented kids. All 3 could be aces. They all could be considered one. So, you know, I think for us looking ahead and looking at it, it's whoever is the best matchup I usually go with. And, you know, I felt going to the tournament, you know, Ricard had thrown the first 2 games against Army and Bucknell, because I thought she was the better matchup just up in the zone in East West. And then once we got to the championship game, I mean, the kid that I threw, she's a lefty with a drop ball and a changeup, and she is just difficult. I mean, she can locate better than anyone. And I mean, they weren't able to really even generate anything off of her, a couple hits here and there. But yeah. And then I just thought, Casey has a little bit more speed, a little bit more dominant, and she had seen those kids the weekend before, and I thought it was just the better setup to finish the game with her.
Yeah, it's amazing. You kind of got like a Bruins goalie thing going on, right? Like, who should she pitch? Is Swayman or Omar? Like, what's going on here?
It's funny. Everyone always says, like, oh my God, you're so lucky. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I spend a lot of time like scouting, like the week before, the night before, to try to find the best possible matchups. Cause to me, it's, you could easily pick one, or, you know, it's me. I'm like, I got 1 through 3. I show up to the field and I'm like, all right, who do I choose today? So definitely try to do my homework to figure out who is the best matchup to give our team, obviously, the best opportunity for success.
Yeah. Ashley Waters from Amesbury. You, it's amazing that we used to talk about stuff for the Amesbury News, like you Maine, a lot of conversations. I mean, you had a tremendous, you know, Globe Player of the Year for Massachusetts in high school. And then you go on and conference Player of the Year, America. I mean, like, did you ever imagine softball would be like your life? I mean, it's just like it didn't end at high school. It didn't end at college. It didn't end after your master's. Like, you're still at it.
Yeah, I think it's funny. I was really fortunate. I grew up on the field, right? So my mom and Coach Perry, you know, they were together for 30 some odd years, coached together at Amesbury High School. And, you know, to me, it could not have been a better way to grow up. I loved being at the field. I loved chasing foul balls. When I was old enough, they let me shag when they'd do like live BP. I love that. I lived for that. And it was funny. I think I had played other sports and I love competing, and I love sports as is, but there was something about softball to me that always stuck out. That was always a little bit more special. And, you know, when I imagine what my life looked like, I always knew I wanted to coach. And, you know, I think when I was going up through, you know, you don't know when you're younger, you're like, oh, maybe I'll coach high school and be a teacher, or maybe I'll do this, maybe I'll do that. But, you know, I just like my love, like my passion just like continued to grow as I went. And I can't imagine myself being away from it. You know, it is something that like fuels me. It is something that drives me. And I love the challenge of it. You know, the 1-0 games in the 8th, right? Those are great memories after the fact in it. I don't know how enjoyable it is, you know, but it was funny leading up to it. My brother said, he's like, oh my God, you're just miserable this week. And it's true, right? Like I want to win so bad that like there is misery with it, but it is, this has been just like the greatest experience of my life. And, you know, I often think like, how lucky I am and how fortunate I am, because I'm just happy. Like, I am happy with what I'm doing, where I'm at. I'm happy with, you know, the kids I get to coach. And that's a really cool thing.
Yeah. One of those kids is Olivia DeLong, Amesbury's own. So she's a sophomore, you know, getting a few looks here and there kind of thing, kind of biding her time. But like, is that the first Amesbury girl you had on the team, or even North Shore?
It is. Yeah, it is. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I think, you know, with Liv, obviously I got to see Liv play a lot for my mom and find success with Amesbury. And, you know, you're not going to find a better kid. She is as sweet as they can be, but, you know, she is thriving academically. You know, she's getting better on the softball field. And, you know, the one thing I got to tell her, I mean, she came into a loaded team. This team's stacked, you know, so it's funny when you look at the kids right now that are, you know, kind of sitting on the bench buying their time. I mean, they're buying their time behind, you know, kids that walked in as freshmen and haven't left the field for 4 or 5 years. That is extremely extremely difficult to build a team around, you know? So it'll be interesting. I think more opportunities will come, but I can't say enough about having her on the team. She is just, one, such an incredible person, incredible human, but you know, it's very cool to have that Amesbury connection with one another and, you know, to know her since she was such a young kid playing softball for my mom. And now I get the chance to have her on my roster is pretty cool.
Yeah. And speaking of mom, stepped down after that amazing long career, correct?
She did. She did. So I feel like I got some blame for that. So I had a baby and my mom takes care of him during our softball season. So, you know, I think she was ready to step away, but this was just conversations her and I had. I think she had done her time and had such a remarkable career. And, you know, and then of course I go and have a kid. So the timing looks like it might've been my fault. So I could take the blame for that, but, my little guy is very lucky to have Mimi around every single day.
Is Mimi and what's your little guy's name?
His name's Cardin.
So Mimi and Cardin, are they like, is that a staple at BU softball games? Like in the stroller, she's watching. Does that happen a lot?
I would say last year, definitely a staple. This year, not so much. He is a wild man, almost two. So yeah, bringing him into Boston. I mean, he'll be in the middle of traffic directing.
Oh,
it,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. Where is he? Oh, he's just walking down Starro.
Yeah, yeah. So Mimi keeps him in close quarters at home.
Well, that's great. Well, congratulations on having that beautiful boy there. And you know, we haven't even talked about what's coming up yet. And this weekend, it's the NCAA regionals in Norman, Oklahoma. And why is it in Oklahoma? Well, that's where the number two seed in the country is. That's not coincidence. Right? They host it because they're so good.
That is correct.
Yeah. Okay. Three-time defending national champs. Six titles since 2013. Fun fact, though, you guys have beaten them one time. Didn't you beat them in 2018?
2018, baby.
Unbelievable.
They were number one in the country. And
yeah.
Oh, my God. I forget what their record was. It was something astronomical. Like, they had won, like, some insane number straight. Yeah. So, it was a massive upset. That is a fact.
Yeah. Is that mentioned to the ladies of BU this week that, listen, it can happen?
Yeah. I mean, we've done it before. Listen, that is the team, right? So if you want to talk about, like, you know, the South Carolina of basketball, right? Or the UConn women's basketball of late, that is Oklahoma softball. Just in such a dominant fashion. They have just absolutely, you know, annihilated most people for the past however many years. And, you know, I think they're a little bit more vulnerable this year. You know, they had lost one of their ace pitchers, but I mean, just such a prolific offense. And, but yeah, no, we've beat them. I mean, you can beat anybody. You never know, right? And that is a part about it. We have a really gritty, scrappy bunch. But Oklahoma at Oklahoma, if you know something about OU, my friends, their fans are something else. So we actually got sent there in 2018 after we had beat them. And I went to Walmart and I was trying to buy water for the team and people were booing me in the aisles. I was like, I'm going to have to wear a disguise.
That's,
but
that's
their that's fans like are passionate.
Oh my goodness. That's like a LinkedIn tagline for you. Like, got booed at an Oklahoma Walmart. You know?
Yes. I'm like, just trying to get water here. Sorry, people.
Unbelievable. And it's like a different world because, you know, as you know, I mean, the Northeast in New England, it's just not a big college area, right? I mean, in terms of like the general population, of course, the school is crazy about its teams. The alum are crazy about its teams. And you hope that some of the general population jumps in. But those worlds are different. I mean, that's college first.
Oh, yeah. Their fan base is probably one of the most significant and powerful in the entire country. And, you know, I think the thing about New England is we have so many pro sports and we have so many, you know, pro sports who have really been successful over the past, you know, decade or, you know, so I think when you look at it, right, there's such a focus, but it's so spread out because there's so many colleges, there's so many schools, there's so many this, right? In Oklahoma, you're OSU baby or you're OU, right? You're one or the other. And then you throw Tulsa and them in the mix, but like people have their staples and, you know, it is the Mecca of all Meccas where we're going to, like, we are walking into the lion's den and, you know, you're just hoping you come out, you know, alive and functioning.
Yeah. And it must be nice to have like the number one and two teams in the same conference, you know, Texas being number one and Oklahoma being number two. And I was doing a little math, like looking at the rankings. You guys came in at 34th right now.
Yeah.
And I don't see another Northeast based team until 73rd BC, I think.
Yeah.
If I got that right.
Yeah.
So different worlds, you know, Northeast softball, Southeast and West and, you know, just the Midwest, whatever. Have the girls seen a comparable atmosphere this year to what you will be facing down in Oklahoma coming up this weekend?
I would say South Carolina. It's another Power Five SEC. We played them under the lights and they had a pretty packed house and we ended up losing in the eighth inning on a walk-off home run.
Huh.
But I would say in terms of what that environment was, right? I would say the South Carolina fans are a little bit kinder, a little bit nicer. OU's definitely a little bit different, but I think this team and this like senior led team, right? There's like nine of them, right? They're either fifth years or they're seniors. Like we are losing a significant group this year, but what they have done over the past 4 or 5 years has been pretty significant. So they've knocked off Baylor, they've knocked off Georgia, right? They've played some of the best in the country at their home fields or, you know, at a neutral site, and they've been able to win. So we've definitely had opportunities to be on the field with some of the best of the best and get to feel that experience. I don't think there's anywhere like Oklahoma and that's just obviously having the experience there. It is different. Like, so we've had these conversations, obviously they know what to expect. They know what's coming, but I mean, it is literally the number one field in the entire country. It is millions and millions of dollars. It is brand new. They just started playing on it this year. I mean, it is going to be them basically playing at what would be like a major league baseball park. So we've had that conversation of just, you know, what it's going to look like, what it's going to feel like, and you know, how to kind of tune it out and try to focus on what we can do.
Are you going to do like the Gene Hackman Hoosiers measure the base pass thing and say, ladies, I think you'll find these are the same measurements as back at BU?
You know, we do have those basic conversations a lot about, hey, they get dressed the same way, right? They play the same game we play.
Yeah. And do you find yourself as a coach now? I'm comparing my little league days to your super high level softball college days, but coaching ways. Do you sometimes say, you know what, Ashley, step back. Say less to these girls. They know what's at stake. Get out there, deliver a simple message, and let them go perform.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like, you know, especially this past weekend when there's so much at stake, I feel like I definitely was a little bit more reserved to allow those seniors to take over, to allow those seniors to lead, to allow those seniors to demand, right? Yeah. They've been there. They've won before. They know what it takes. And I think sometimes that voice, right, almost weighs in heavier when you have a senior in your face telling you to like, hey, we got to focus. Let's go. You be the one, right? I think sometimes that makes a difference. And, you know, when teams lead one another, right, and it doesn't matter where the message is coming from. When the message is right, right, it doesn't matter whose voice. And I think that was the part this weekend that, you know, those kids really stepped in and took over. And a lot of the kids that, you know, helped us win weren't necessarily the stars, right? Obviously, our pitchers, they're always stars. But it was the other kids. It was like the middle of the lineup, the bottom, like Brooke Depp, yes, our second baseman, like just owned the past like month. Like, so it was really cool just to like get to watch that unfold without it really being a direction for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, we talked a lot about Oklahoma. There's two other teams that are there as well. You'll be playing, starting with Oregon Friday, correct?
Yes.
And then it doesn't, you know, you'll see who you play next, depending on who wins, who loses, but
correct.
What's the skinny on Oregon, number 31 ranked team in the country? So they're right in your area. And then Cleveland State ranked 240th. So they must have been, you know, one of those low, obviously they're a low ranked team that won a conference tournament and got in.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is the thing. If you're in postseason, you have something, right? If you're able to make it there, it means you beat somebody or you were good enough to just get in on your own. Oregon has a really mix of like speed and power. So they have some kids in their lineup that can absolutely run. So a lot of touch and go, a lot of slappers. And then obviously you have kids that can kind of hit the long ball. I think Oregon's going to be a really good test and a really good matchup. I think pitching wise, like very comparable. I think they have some decent arms and, you know, for us, it's just going to be a matter of they're coming out of the Pac-12, which is historically the greatest softball conference in the entire country until the SEC has kind of taken over. You know, so you look at like the history of that. Now they're playing, you know, Stanford, ASU, UCLA, that's their conference schedule.
Consistently, right? Yeah.
Yes. So to me, realistically where they're at, they're going to be a step ahead. So I think for us, if Casey's on and is throwing well, I feel like if we buy our time and can get to like the fourth or fifth, the second time through the order, and it's still 0-0, you know, we have a really great shot at that game. I just don't think we can give up runs early just based on the fact that, you know, they're going to be a step ahead of us for sure. And then Cleveland State, I mean, they obviously won their conference. They did a good enough job to get in. And when you get to that stage, anyone can win. And I think that's the part where it's like, it gives you promise and hope because you feel like, hey, if we take the field and we do it the right way, we have a shot to win. But the problem is they also have that, right? So everyone has that same belief that it's anybody's game on anyone's day. So, you know, we have a slogan, nobody but us. And that's as simple as it can be, is we really try to just focus on us and our dugout and our players and what we're doing versus, you know, what everyone else is doing.
Yeah. I love that those first two matchups, you know, number 31 versus number 34, and then number 2 and versus 240 in the nightcap. I don't know which, that game's probably more intriguing, that one, because, you know, you either watch a dominant performance by the number 2 or you watch a major upset, you know, a historical upset.
Yes.
Yeah. So when's the team, this podcast airs Thursday, at that point, will you be gone? Will you leave today or?
We're leaving tomorrow. So we fly out tomorrow at 11, get a chartered flight to Oklahoma and we'll get there. We'll actually get to the hotel and then head over to OU. We're going to do some BP. And then all the teams are going to be there on Thursday and they give you assigned practice times. And then we're going to go to the USA Hall of Fame, the Softball Hall of Fame, and go see where the College World Series is played. Give our kids a chance to walk around on that field and get to kind of feel what that's like. And then Friday it's go time.
Unbelievable. Well, you know, best of luck, Ashley Waters of Amesbury fame. Around those parts, we around these parts, Amesbury is the most important. Not you, me, not be you.
That's right. Hey, I still have that pride.
Yeah. The Red Hawks pride, right? Is that's the new name?
Yes, it is the Red Hawks. I think in my playing days, obviously, we were the Indians, but I can jump on board with whatever Amesbury is. So a lot of pride in that city.
Yeah. And then the bottom line is Indians, Red Hawks, whatever, the softball program has been outstanding, you know, throughout the years. Was it before your mom, was Chris Perry?
Yeah.
He was your coach, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I had Chris and mom. So, I mean, honestly, a lot of the reason that I'm sitting here and I am what I am is because of the two of them. I can tell you that much. So I loved playing for Coach Perry and, we're both being inducted into the Hall of Fame next year together. And
oh, I got to tell you,
that is just like, maybe was the best news of my year that, you know, I kind of get to stand by his side while he goes in and he gets to be by his side, which is really cool.
So that must be a case of the AHOF just being behind on things, because the you know, you guys would have gotten in a little quicker if it was that normal cadence, right? Of like,
yeah, they like to do the I think they just switched it. I think it was supposed to be like 20 years out or something, or I'm not really sure. It's something, yeah. So that's just maybe I'm just saying, yeah, and it didn't quite reach there yet, but I think they changed the rules. So
That's a long way. It's like, yeah, let's see how they do in 20 years and then we'll put them in. Like, okay.
Yeah, I'm like, my God, yeah, I'm not going to be, I'd like to still be young.
Whatever happened to 5, right? That's usually the standard. But hey, congratulations on that. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Just another honor for you. And we wish BU, Boston University, going to the regionals in Oklahoma for the 4-team regional. And then, hey, this one team comes out of the regional. That's it. And
one team, baby. Yeah. Wow. Whoever comes out is going to Florida State or they're coming to there or whatever. So we'll see.
Yeah. Ashley Waters, good luck with the travel with the team and best of luck in the tournament. We'll be following you very closely.
Appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Have a good one.
I'm Mary Ann Smith, president of the Cape Ann Savings Bank. We are proud to sponsor the Cape Ann Savings Bank Student Athlete of the Year. Whether it's football, field hockey, tennis, soccer, or any other sport, when a student athlete strives for excellence, it inspires the whole community. The team at Cape Ann Savings Bank in Gloucester, Rockport, and Manchester-by-the-Sea always give their best, and we're happy to honor the student athletes and good sports who do too.
Cape Ann Savings Bank, member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender. This is Peter Nicolakopoulos, owner of Pomodori Roast Beef and Pizzeria. Come check out our newest location, Pomodori's in Newburyport at 192 State Street. We have a beautiful restaurant with excellent pizzas, tender roast beef sandwiches, fried haddock and clams, and the best calzones around. We also offer catering for lunch and dinner events. Pomodori has a long history of supporting the local community. Visit our newest Pomodori's in Newburyport. Details at PomodoriPizzeria.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
This is Bob Montgomery, and when hunger calls, North Shore residents must pay a visit to the New Brothers Deli in downtown Danvers. They're open daily for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. They have everything from eggs to meat to fish, and it's all made from scratch with the finest fresh ingredients. New Brothers Deli has specials that are sure to fill you up and satisfy. Kenny and Carrie invite you to visit the New Brothers Restaurant and Deli at 31 Maple Street in the middle of downtown Danvers. Call 978-750-0100 for more information.
North Shore Sports Desk, Don McCastro back at it with our next guest, Swamp Scott, Big Blue baseball coach, Joe Caponegro. What's going on, Cap?
How you doing, Don? Great to talk to you finally.
It is, yeah. We I think we last talked, we were in the 104.9 FM world.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it's crazy.
Yeah, still the same show, but in a different format on MSO News Sports. I know you know those guys. Bill Newell. Yep.
Of course, yeah.
Rick Moore and all those legends and then North Shore Media. But yeah, so bring us up to speed. Let's start with the team, obviously. Right now, the time of the recording is before a Monday night game. So, where are we record wise, and how's the team doing overall?
Right now, we are 8-6, and we're hanging in there. You know, we've had a lot of very close games, and which has been good for the kids to be able to, you know, get in those pressure situations. And I think if we're lucky enough to get into the state tournament, you know, those tight ball games will help us that we've already, you know, participated in. Tonight we have a non-league game against Stoneham. They're coming over to play us at 6:30. We've played them the last, this will be the third year in a row for a non-league game. And they're a good club. They play in a good league. And, you know, it's going to be a big challenge for us. But hopefully we'll be up to the task.
Yeah, and speaking of those close games, the last one, 2-1 win over Winthrop, where you had Fitzy, our own, the kid I used to give me nightmares in Little League, pitching against my teams.
That's right.
Well, geez, refresh my memory. What's his first name? I'm sorry, Joe.
Quinn.
Yeah, Quinn Fitzpatrick, right. I mean, he is just, he was solid in Little League, and look at him as a young man now. He went all seven against Winthrop, four hits, two Ks. Just, he seems super consistent.
Yeah, you know, he's not an overpowering type pitcher, but he certainly has excellent control, and he pitches to spots. And we try to, you know, we that's what we preach with our staff, is to try to pitch to contact and don't worry about strikeouts. You've got very able fielding behind you, and he was just what we needed. He went, you know, seven strong innings, 78 pitches, complete game.
Wow,
which was awesome. And I can't say enough about, you know, how proud I am. Not just this game, but he's pitched well throughout the season. So it's been great to see.
Yeah, and who have been some of your other consistent starters out there getting a lot of innings?
Jack Spear, who's a sophomore. He's also the quarterback, as you may know, on the football team. Mm. He's been our workhorse. He's probably thrown up, you know, mid 20s as far as innings so far, maybe even up to 30 innings. And he typically averages over a strikeout an inning. He's got, he's got some really good command. He could throw three pitches for strikes, and I think, you know, he's certainly been excellent for us, and he's been a tough luck loser. He pitched a great game against Marblehead last week. We lost 2-1, mm-hmm. and we gave up two unearned in the first inning, and then he shut him down. But he's had a few games like that, but he's been excellent. Jamie Ford is another sophomore pitcher that we have. He's actually going to be throwing tonight to start, and he's got good stuff, and hopefully he'll be able to take us deep into the game tonight. And we've got an array of other arms. David Palmer, he's another sophomore. He's got two wins for us. We've got some senior arms and Dawson DeBerry, Quinn Hitchcock, and Jake McGonigal. I don't know if those names ring a bell, but they're
absolutely
all, those kids are seniors. And we've got pitching has not been an issue for us. Let's put it that way. It's defense has been fine as well. It's just Dom, you know how baseball is. We haven't got the timely hits as much as we've needed them, that's where we've struggled. But, you know, hopefully, we were in a tough ball game with Winthrop the other day. We had won one game. I think it was the fifth inning, and one of our seniors smoked the ball to right field to score, what turned out to be the winning run. So that's what we need. We need that more consistently. So,
yeah. And was that Frankie Pappalotto who did that one? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not for nothing, Joe, but all these kids you're mentioning right now in the last couple of sentences were under the tutelage of Dominic Castro, just to let you know.
That's a good thing. I hope there's more in the pipeline.
Yeah. Oh, I think these kids, these seniors and juniors are probably the last one to filter out from the Dominic Castro mentorship. But it was so fun, watching these kids grow and seeing them going to high school, and you get to see that all the time, living in Swampscott and knowing. And, Joe, speaking of the pitching, I mean, you've been a long time coach, high school level and English and everything. Do you find how do you find the pitch count? It's a lot to manage. And especially when the tournament comes, I can't imagine what you have to be thinking of with the pitch count. I mean, is it a good thing or bad thing for high school baseball?
I think it's probably, in the long run, it's a good thing for for arm care. But I also sit on the executive board for the coaches in the state, and there's going to be a proposal presented to the MIAA for maybe to alter it a little bit. And there are many schools, especially the privates, where they have an abundance of pitchers, pitcher only type guys. But then you get out and you get to these small Division IV and Division V schools in the state, and they may have 15 kids in the whole baseball program,
right?
And so that's where there's been some push coming to try to alter up the pitch counts a little bit. But I think overall, the premise has been to save kids' arms, and I think that's what's happening. I think back, I think it was my first year in Swampscott. We went kind of deep in the tournament, no pitch count then. And we had one guy, Max Ignato, who pitched a great game. And then we ended up getting the rain day, and then we didn't have to play for another three. So we had 3 days rest, and I brought him right back, and he beat us to prep. That's nothing we can do again. It just can't, with the restrictions that we have. But I do agree with it.
Yeah. Maybe if the proposal you're talking about, like altering the 1 day rest and the 2 day rest part of the rule, I could see that is it 21 or 30 or something like that?
If you throw 25 or under, you can come back the next day.
Yeah.
If you throw 26 to 40, you need 1 day rest. if you throw 41 to 55, you need 2 days rest. And if you throw 56 to 70, you need 3 days rest. You know, and then above 70, it's 4 days rest. It's in there for a reason. I think it's been helpful, you know, for the really for the overall health of the kid's arms.
You know? Yeah, you do see some of in the past. I've seen some instances of abuse for sure. I mean, I think I remember, you know, Gloucester in 09 had a significant tournament run where they actually were in Division One for some reason that year, and they were playing the prep, and you know, they had a starting pitcher who went like six and took him out, and then, you know, an inning later or something, put him back in. You know, there's a lot of that going on. And so it's, I could see the rule kind of prevents that thing. And, you know, sometimes you gotta really dot your I's, cross your T's on that, Joe, because, you know, Andover baseball lost a game because of it to Lawrence.
Yeah, that's just this year, right?
Yeah.
Not too long ago. Yeah, I heard about that. We have a good system in place. I know some leagues, they actually pay for pitch counters, you know, people to come and you know, then submit the form afterwards. But, you know, we at the Northeast Conference anyway, we have a website that we use that's a Google Doc, and it's updated every night, you know, when you know, JV, varsity, and if they have freshman teams as well. You know, we can, you know, all the pitches are tabbed, so we know, you know, it's right there, and it tells you how many days rest they need after throwing, you know, 74 pitches. So it's been working, as far as I know. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, back to the 2024 Big Blue. What's the landscape of the Northeastern Conference right now? Have any teams emerged as clear favorites, whether it's large or small?
Yeah, I think. Peabody has a couple really, really good arms, and they've we got them early in the season. We were able to win that game, but then they got us maybe 2 weeks ago. They beat us. They shut us out 3-0. But I think, I don't know their exact record, but I think they're probably, they're on our side. On our side, we have Peabody, Salem, Winthrop, Saugus, and us, and Swampscott. And Peabody's on our side, and I think they're probably a couple games up on as far as conference record. And then the other side, Marblehead, they seem to be doing well. Beverly played us tough, but I know they, for Beverly standards, they've had kind of a down year. Gloucester, we got them early, but then they got hot. So I heard they're doing well in Masco. Masco's another team that's playing very, you know, very well. So the beauty of this league is there's no pushovers, and it's a very competitive league, and anybody could really beat anybody any day, you know. And a lot of it depends upon, you know, who's going. If their number one is going, you know, against another number one, or if it's a number one and maybe a number three guy, you know, so it a lot depends upon how, you know, how the matchups are in the mound.
Here with Joe Caponegro, Swampscott baseball coach. And of course, a big moment for Swampscott baseball. The program was naming the field after Frank DeFelice, legendary coach. And my former neighbor in Swampscott, who I, you know, ran into many a time in my walks around Stetson Ave. And he would, you know, I always reminded him that, Frank, thanks for ending my high school baseball career. Swampscott beat Gloucester three times in 1995 when they had Madden and Woodfork and Nolan. Maybe even the famous Portnoy, I think, was on that team too.
Yeah, I think he was.
Yep.
I think he was.
And we just couldn't beat him, couldn't figure it out. And I would talk to Frank all the time and about those days. And I'm telling you, he would say, hey, how's Mitchell and McCarthy doing? Like, Jesus, Frank, you remember those kids from Gloucester in the mid-90s? Yeah. That's crazy. What an institutional knowledge he had. But tell me about that day, Joe, a few weeks ago, you know, naming that field after Frank. Such a great honor.
Yeah. So that was, had been in the making for a while. I think there might have been some initiatives years back to get it done, but nothing really ever materialized. And then I was approached by Steve Bulpet, I don't know, Steve.
Yeah, former Boston Herald guy.
Yeah. And he brought the idea to me. You know, he was definitely the catalyst, and being the current coach, and I guess, you know, having some knowing my way around the town, I was able to, you know, go to town hall, find out the process, and we got on the agenda for the select board, and then we submitted a proposal, gave them a verbal proposal at the meeting, and it was passed. And yeah. That was probably, I think that was in January. And then we had, they were playing Winthrop shortly thereafter in basketball, Swampscott. We had him come to the game, coach came to the game, and then we made an announcement because he's from Winthrop, and a lot of Winthrop people came just to kind of get it out there, what was going on. And then, again, a couple of weeks ago, the 27th of April, we had the dedication, and it's a beautiful day. The baseball gods, for once, were good to us on a Saturday, and we had a terrific crowd. We had the band there from Swampscott High School, and it was excellent. It was emceed by Paul Halloran, who did a fantastic job, who was also, he was Frank's assistant coach for a number of years here in Swampscott. And so it was a really good day. And Frank's whole family was there, and it seems as though half of Winthrop was there, but it worked out well.
What's the Winthrop connection again? Is he from there?
That's where Frank's from.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So he was a Winthrop athlete and everything growing up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that's great. I love that. I know there's a couple of Winthrop guys that ended up in Swampscott. I mean, it's probably more than I know, but the Bronier family, I think, originally was Winthrop, and the Ford family, actually. You're a Ford guy. Sure. No, that's a great day. And I remember going against Frank, and, you know, he had a unique style, of course, and he was just super intimidating. It was almost like I would compare him to like what people thought of Ken Perone as a football coach. You know, I used to see him across the sidelines, like, what a legend that guy is, you know?
Yeah.
And same thing with Frank in baseball. And, you know, one time he went up to the mound to talk, we thought to talk to his pitcher, but it was actually to argue with the umpire.
Yeah.
You know, he would stand behind the pitcher, look out to the outfield and start yelling. Like, who's he yelling at? The pitcher, the outfield? Oh, the umpire.
didn't want to embarrass him. But he got his point across.
It. Right. All right, Joe. So, yeah, last question. You know, what are you looking to kind of, you know, shore up as you go forward with the Big Blue? I mean, I know you said the timely hitting is an area of focus. So it's pretty much that, seems like, because the pitching is locked down, the defense is locked down. So it's all about, you know, taking good swings, having quality at bats.
Yeah, that's it. You know, and it seems we've had a really skewed amount of backwards K's, you know, just taking third strikes. And so we've been working on approach, you know, at the plate, and I'm confident, you know, that we've turned the corner against Winthrop. I think we only had one strikeout in that game. So I feel as though the kid, it's starting to sink in, and you know, I think kids are finding themselves in the hole 0-2, 1-2, and get breaking balls. And I think they realize that it's a lot harder to hit a breaking ball than a fastball. So, you know, you see a fastball early in the count, you know, let's try to do some damage.
Yeah.
You know, so it's the approach. And, you know, we're still young. We style like six sophomores. So it's still learning. But they're a good bunch of kids. The whole program, we got a great bunch of real student athletes, you know, so that makes it easier. We don't have to worry about grades, you know, they're doing the right thing in the classroom. And then you know, we don't, that's one less headache that we have to deal with.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, not surprised there, Joe. Solid group of kids. And, you know, just the fact that they're so hardworking and sticking to athletics is a breath of fresh air today. Right. And
of course.
And they're participating year after year. That's where you start. And then you grow from there. And, you know, these kids are certainly in that class that you have this year. So 8-16 heading into Monday night, Joe, best of luck.
Eight and six.
best of luck with the Blue, and we'll be rooting for them in every game, of course, except against Gloucester. So yeah, that's where I stand.
But who knows? If we sneak into the tournament, we could play them again.
Oh, okay. There you go. I can't lose in that game. That's all I'll say. My hometown versus my adopted hometown.
Yeah, funny.
All right, Joe. Hey, Joe Cap, thanks again for joining us. Always a pleasure.
Tell all the guys I said hello.
All right, have a good one. Talk soon.
I'm Marianne Smith, president of the Cape Ann Savings Bank. We are proud to sponsor the Cape Ann Savings Bank Student Athlete of the Year. Whether it's football, field hockey, tennis, soccer, or any other sport, when a student athlete strives for excellence, it inspires the whole community. The team at Cape Ann Savings Bank in Gloucester, Rockport, and Manchester-by-the-Sea always give their best, and we're happy to honor the student athletes and good sports who do too.
Cape Ann Savings Bank, member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
This is Bob Montgomery, and when hunger calls, North Shore residents must pay a visit to the New Brothers Deli in downtown Danvers. They're open daily for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. They have everything from eggs to meat to fish, and it's all made from scratch with the finest fresh ingredients. New Brothers Deli has specials that are sure to fill you up and satisfy. Kenny and Carrie invite you to visit the New Brothers Restaurant and Deli at 31 Maple Street in the middle of downtown Danvers. Call 978-750-0100 for more information.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning on remodeling your kitchen or just thinking about it, may I suggest that you visit our kitchen cabinet showroom in downtown Beverly. There you will find some 25 kitchens on display, just as they might look in your own home. And you can also talk with our kitchen cabinet sales team, who really do know what they are talking about. That's at Moynihan Lumber, 82 River Street, in downtown Beverly.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
North Shore Sports Desk, Dominic Castro back at it with our latest Cape Ann Savings Bank Student Athlete of the Week. We're going to Rockport with the Vikings and Ty Bushy, baseball player. What's going on, Ty?
How's it going?
Good. How's the team? Like, bring me up to speed. What's going on for this week? What's big? What's hot?
We are, I think, 3-13, maybe. 3-13.
Yep.
Better from last year. We had one win last year, so.
Little progress.
We got match tomorrow night, Manchester Essex, and looking forward to a dub. Hopefully, we can get it done.
The big rivalry game. Big rival.
Yep.
All right. Well, so you know, and when you look back at the season, you know how it's gone and everything. Obviously, you wanted more wins, but you know where are some of the areas for kind of tightening up things as you go down the stretch here? Is it defense you guys want to tighten up, pitching, hitting, a little bit of everything?
We definitely need to work on hitting. It's been our biggest problem the entire season. Haven't been able to score runs, which will not win you games. Our defense has been pretty good, pretty solid, but our offense just can't hold up enough. So
yeah,
I think we've gotten no hit twice, both by Georgetown.
Oh, well, they're doing nasty things to a lot of teams.
They're the only undefeated team in the state. Yeah. So
for real. Yeah, there's no shame in getting no hit to that team. They're just crushing it here. Who else is some of the top teams, top challenges you guys have had in the Cape Ann League? Obviously there's Georgetown, but who else is like, wow, you know what? That's a pretty impressive team.
North Reading was very good. The game we played them in was at Evans, and the weather was just horrible. And I think that just took a toll on us mentally.
Yeah.
And just none of us wanted to be there, and it was an absolute horror show.
You guys can't have a day like that at Evans. That's the home turf, man. You got
I know.
You got the hill in right field. You got
so unfortunate.
You got townies coming by, you know.
Yep. We had a game against Newburyport away a few days ago last week. And we were up 1-0 until the fifth inning. And then it just somehow went all downhill very fast and just lost 8-1. So
yeah,
they're a pretty good team too. I think they were 7-3 when we played them.
Okay.
So we hung in there for a little bit, but just couldn't hang any longer.
Yeah. Who are the wins you guys have picked up for those three?
We beat Amesbury, and then we also beat Kip Academy and Salem Academy, which are not teams in the Cape Ann League.
Right, right. Kip's out of Lynn, and then Salem's in Salem. But
yeah,
have you like strung together a few wins lately, or has it kind of been scattered throughout the year?
Our last win was, I would say, 7 games ago.
Oh, okay.
We haven't gotten a win.
Yeah, it's been dry lately.
The first one was the first game of the season.
Okay.
We started off 2-1. We were 2-1, and then went to like 2-7, maybe 2-6, and then we picked up a win, and then haven't gotten one since.
Yeah, Ty. So you know, looking at you on the Zoom here that we had going, you know, you're Scott's Bushy son, but can I say that you look a little more like Uncle Mark?
I actually haven't gotten that a lot. I've done Uncle Chris a little bit.
Chris, yep, that too. Well, let's say this: more like Chris and Uncle Chris and Mark than Dad.
Yeah, when Uncle Chris was younger, I look a little bit like him. Same with my dad; he was younger, I look more like him too. But
yeah,
I haven't gone Uncle Mark yet.
You get the mom's feet features, right? The colors.
Yeah, I do have that.
Yeah, from the Italian side, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you know, those who are listening might not know, you know, I used to play with Scott and Mark and Chris, really, all three of them actually at one point in the late 90s for the townies, Rockport townies. And, you know, what I remember most about Scott is like he came in 97 when he just had that amazing senior year at Northeastern.
Yeah.
You know, he comes late because Northeastern was doing well and he came late in the season, like, man, I don't know, whatever, 5-7 games in. And the first pitch he sees, he hits one like almost in the woods in left center at Evans, you know, and I'm like, oh, okay, he's back. Like, I swear, first pitch. And I was like, here we go. But, you know, what's that like for you? And now you have siblings as well, right?
Yeah, I do.
Who are they again? Is it Sydney?
No, she's my cousin.
Okay, gotcha.
Brett and Ariana are my siblings.
Okay. How old are they?
Brett is 23.
Okay.
And Ari is 21.
Okay. So you're the baby. All right.
I'm the baby.
Yeah. Just like me. Third of three myself. And so they were athletes too, right?
Yeah. Brett played baseball and soccer. And then he did cross country his senior year of high school.
Okay, cool. Cool. But the whole Bushy family, though, very athletic, you know, must have been fun growing up. There's definitely no shortage of advice or, you know, finding someone to pick up the ball and throw with.
That was awesome.
Well, cool. So, all right. Now, you know, we talked about the team a lot, where the struggles are and where the wins have been. But let's talk about you. You know, where are you in the lineup? You know, hitting wise, and where do you find yourself playing mostly in the field?
I'm number 2 in the lineup. I was lead off for a little bit, and then I started off slow. So then I got put in 9 because I'm one of the faster guys.
Mm.
And then I backed down to 2, and I'm playing center the whole season pretty much.
Okay.
I played third like one time just because we had to switch around players to pitch someone.
Hmm.
But that's about it. And I pitched one time.
Wow. So you're not regularly a pitcher though, huh?
Nope.
Kind of needed an arm out there.
Yeah. We were in light emergency.
Yeah. Pitch count, all that. No one's available kind of thing. Throw Bushy out there. Yeah. Are you righty or lefty?
You're righty.
Okay. So I know the family split up a little bit where Uncle Mark is a lefty, at least hitting. And then the other kid, Chris is a lefty thrower, Uncle Chris.
Yeah.
But a righty hitter. And then Scott's righty.
Yeah, I'm righty.
As you know. So you're like dad. Okay. Yeah. So how are you feeling? You know, like have you been able to be consistent in both areas, fielding and hitting, or would you like to see more improvement out of yourself?
I need more improvement hitting. I've been struggling all season with hitting. I've been one of the punters this year. Use my speed. In the field, I've been great. But at the plate, I'm not too good this year.
Yeah. Fielding wise, you tracking in a sense, like doing great in the sense of tracking down a lot of like gap shots or even throwing in a few like assists in there from time to time, throwing guys out in the infield.
Yeah.
Nice. You've thrown some guys out?
I've thrown, I think, two maybe.
Sweet. Like straight to the bag or like cut off man and then he throws it kind of thing?
Second.
What was that?
They're both towards second.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So someone trying to turn a double or go from first to second on a hit, some that kind of thing. Yeah. Nice. All right, cool. Yeah. So hitting wise, it says, you know, man, I remember like I played 4 years at Salem State and like my junior year, I never quite picked up the ball, you know?
Yeah.
Like I just didn't. I just couldn't pick it up out of the pitcher's hand, like the whole season, really. And then I got some advice and I got, you know, working on things and senior year totally turned it around. What areas you think at the plate you need to turn it around with, taking advantage of good pitches earlier in the count, not swinging at bad ones, or just kind of a little bit of everything?
Yeah, I need to lay off more bad pitches. I've been too antsy. And I also have been looking. I've been doing just a little bit of everything that's not what you want to do.
Yeah.
That's why I've been starting to bunt more, just because I can get on base easier.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like sometimes you have no choice. You're like, if I'm in a slump, I need to get on base somehow.
Yeah.
And then this confidence builds and then you take a few good hacks, you know. Is Mr. Parisi the coach?
Yeah, he came back this year.
Oh, okay, cool. That's awesome because I play with him too.
Yeah. His last year was my freshman year. And then we had Kyle Nelson and Dan Cashman for a little bit. And then Parisi came back this year.
Yeah. Yeah, he was another member of that 99 Championship Townies team. I'm making this interview about me. No, but no, what's funny about that team, Ty, and your dad, like we had four college, at one point in Townies, we had four college baseball shortstops. Like in the infield, you had to spread them around. Like, and Parisi ended up taking short. Your father was second. Both of your fathers, I mean, both of your fathers, your father and your uncle were both second base. And, hey, going back to you guys, you know, is it a senior laden team for Rockport this year? Is it spread out through all the grades? A lot of young kids.
We only have five seniors this year, which isn't a lot, really. We have, it's pretty spread out, actually. Yeah. We have a couple freshmen, but it's mostly, in the field, it's mostly juniors and seniors. But.
Yeah. Nice. Who are the captains this year?
It's me, Jameson Colbert, Caleb Francis, and Josiah Whitley. Josiah Whitley being the only junior.
Oh, okay. That's cool. That's impressive as being a captain as a junior.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does players vote on that, or is that a coach thing?
It's a coach thing. We have to send them an email, like a letter, applying to be captain.
Oh.
Which be the team votes for who they want to be captain.
Yeah. Nice. What are some of the duties as a captain, you know, besides the whole, like, come on, boys, pick it up. Like that, obviously, there's that during the game. But there's a lot of stuff after, you know, after the game, before the games, practices, you know, give me an example of some of the things you got to do as a captain.
Got to be there earlier than the other players, setting up the field earlier, and especially like the mental part, people just getting down.
Yeah.
just can't have that linger from everyone. So you got to pick everyone up.
Yeah. Well, what does life after high school look like for Ty Bushy of Rockport?
Life is no college for me. I do not want to go to college.
Cool. What's the plan?
I'm just going to work just as much as I can, see what happens. I just don't think college is the right choice for me because I have no idea what I want to do. And I'm not going to spend pointless money just being like dreadful and somewhere in college wanting to be home when I can just be making money.
Ty, that's actually a very refreshing answer. You know, it's like someone who knows what he wants to do, doesn't just go with the status quo. You sound a lot like my son, actually, because he's like, I'm not doing that, you know? Yeah. But he has a plan, though, you know, like he, and like you, you know, you have like a vision, what you need to do, what you want to do. You're like, I'm not doing what the world tells me I need to do. I'm doing what I know is right for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. You know, I mean, plus that's, you know, you leave Scott and Stephanie alone a little bit with the money, you know, like you can just make your own for once.
Yeah.
Do you actually have an existing job at the moment?
I don't have one at the moment, but I do have one. I'm starting to work at Bass Rocks this summer. My first day, just beginning of June, but I'm not working there yet.
Nothing wrong with that job.
Yeah. I'm also working at the Rockport Golf Course.
Yeah. And you played golf in the fall, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. How did that go for the Vikings overall?
Last year was our better year with this team because last year there was no seniors. There were 7 juniors.
Mm.
8 players, and I think we had 10 wins. We made it to the state tournament, and I think out of like 15 schools, we were 11th, maybe. But this year, we had everyone come back and just disappointed. We didn't even make the tournament. I don't know how, but it was not a good season.
Yeah, that's very interesting how that works. You know, as juniors, you guys were better.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know at all.
Yeah.
It's just really weird.
Yeah, golf is golf, right? I mean, it's not like, oh, we're a year older, we're going to be better at golf. Not necessarily, right? It's
yeah.
And then the other teams might have got better, too. And there's that, obviously, to factor in. Not to mention it's like the hardest game ever. You know, you play the 2 hardest games ever, I think, right?
Yeah, especially hitting a ball in baseball.
That's it. Yeah, you have to hit a ball in both sports. That is just, you know, and one sport tells you have to place it in the certain area, and the other sport says you just have to, same thing, you have to place it in a certain area. You know, yeah. Between the lines.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, yeah, Bass Rocks, maybe that's a future for you, like a career in golf. You know, you ever see that maybe?
I would like it a lot. I think golf is my favorite sport up close to baseball, but I've been playing baseball my whole life, but golf, I started playing in like 7th grade and I just loved it ever since.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Ty Bushy, best of luck this week. At the time of this recording, you were going to play the Hornets the following day, but the results will be in by the time this airs. Hopefully it's a good one for you guys. And, you know, I hope you guys finish strong. And I wish you the best of luck. Say hi to all the Bushies for me, pal, all right?
I will.
Cape Ann Savings Bank Student Athlete of the Week, Ty Bushy of Rockport. Thanks for joining us. Have a good one, buddy.
You too.
This is Peter Nicolakopoulos, owner of Pomodori Roast Beef and Pizzeria. Come check out our newest location, Pomodori's in Newburyport at 192 State Street. We have a beautiful restaurant with excellent pizzas, tender roast beef sandwiches, fried haddock and clams, and the best calzones around. We also offer catering for lunch and dinner events. Pomodori has a long history of supporting the local community. Visit our newest Pomodori's in Newburyport. Details at PomodoriPizzeria.com.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning on remodeling your kitchen, or just thinking about it, may I suggest that you visit our kitchen cabinet showroom in downtown Beverly. There you will find some 25 kitchens on display, just as they might look in your own home. And you can also talk with our kitchen cabinet sales team, who really do know what they are talking about. That's at Moynihan Lumber, 82 River Street in downtown Beverly.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Looking for the best place on the North Shore to gather with friends after work, on the weekend, or catch a game? Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. Enjoy daily specials, mouth-watering appetizers, and delicious entrees. There is something for everyone at the Sylvan Street Grill. Come check out the newly expanded bar in Peabody with 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games.
Sylvan Street Grill.
All right, those are our three guests. Love it. In the books. Now it's just going to our North Shore Spring Sports Report. We figure we look at the rankings, see what's going on. The latest are out. Number 13 in Division I baseball is St. John's Prep at 7-7. So the Eagles right in the middle there. How about baseball in Division II? Who do we get for the North Shore? Any top 20s? That's all we mention these days, top 20s for the most part. 11-4 Masco is in there at number 18. Nice job, Chieftains. Division III baseball, your St. Mary's of Lynn with under coach Derek Dana, 13-2, the number 3 seed at the moment. And that is your Division III baseball top 20 North Shore entrant. Triton is number 22. Let's move on to D4 for baseball. We know we'll have a few there. Linfield, 12-2 at number 3. Pioneers looking really strong there in that division. Hamilton Wyndham's having a solid year at 9-5, number 17th ranked. And your number one team in Division 5, still Georgetown, 14-0, crushing its opponents, 3.59 opponent rating. The second one is 2-3-3, and that's Hopedale. So Georgetown really pulling its weight there for sure. How about softball Division I? Peabody, Betancourt and crew, 9-2, number 3 seed. Beverly looking really strong at 12-2 at number 11. Wouldn't we like to see a Beverly-Peabody matchup? Beverly's already beaten them. That's pretty cool. D2 softball, Marblehead, 12-3 at number 8. Top team there. What a season for Marblehead, huh? D3 softball, North Shore Y. St. Mary's, your number one team, 9-2. Triton Regional, 7-4. North Reading, 10-2. Newburyport, 10-3 at number 10. Pawtucket, 11 at 10-3. Gloucester, 7-8, 13, 14. Danvers, 9-5. Man, Division III softball is packed, North Shore wise. Division IV, Amesbury, the aforementioned Amesbury. Talked to Ashley Waters early in the show, 11-2. Number 8 seed, Linfield, number 16 seed. Excuse me, I got the hiccup. Sorry, guys. Linfield, 7-8, number 16. And rounding things out in D5, Georgetown, number 5, 8-4. So Georgetown's the number 5 team in the state, or the number 1 baseball team in the state. Pretty good. Pretty good. That's all I see for top 20 over there. How about check out a little lacrosse action? The Prepsters, 3-time defending champs, 12-1, sit at the top. Low North Shore wise for top 20. Division 2, a Marblehead, number 20, 10-3. Division 3, Newburyport, 7-4 at number 4. And Essex of the North Shore, number 19 at 8-4. And let's close it out with Division 4. You got your Linfield at 10-2 up there. At number 6, Manchester Essex for lacrosse, 9-3 at number 9. Good for the boys. Ipswich, Swampscott, Ipswich, 12-13. Swampscott at 14-1. Powerhouse right now. Winthrop, 16 at 8-5. How about the ladies lacrosse finishing things up? Peabody Beverly, 12-2, 13-4. Two good ladies seasons for Peabody Beverly softball and lacrosse. Love it. Plenty to talk about at Super Sub next month for our show. How about girls lacrosse? D3, Newburyport, defending champs, 10-2 at number 2. St. Mary's, 8-5 at the 20 seed, so they get a mention. Girls across D4, closing things out. Ipswich and Manchester Essex, they were, I believe, semifinalists last year, both of them. Played each other. Ipswich won. Ipswich, 9-1, 8-3 for Manchester Essex, 4-5 seeds. Hamilton, Wyndham, Pawtucket, 8-9 seeds. Swampscott, number 12. Linfield, 14. Georgetown, 17. North Reading, 19. Lots of good action. Division III softball for girls. Division 4 lacrosse for girls, North Shore-wise. Definitely the two most packed rankings. So we're going to call it a show. thanks to all our guests, sponsors, and everything. It's like award season. You know, Moynihan Lumber is doing there. We got some great interviews lined up for next week and beyond with Moynihan Lumber. The banquet's coming up soon. Athletes of the Year. Good stuff. I can't believe the school year closed this fast. Well, it closes the same time, same speed every year, but it seems like it's fast this year. And then, of course, KPN Savings Bank Student Athlete of the Week. We'll know who the winners, six winners are for that one. And we'll probably go down to the Sidewalk Bazaar in Gloucester in August to interview them. It'll be a lot of fun. Videos and all. All right. That's it for this week, though. We'll see you next week, everybody.